Now, you know, I was reading about Jonah this week, and then for some reason, God directed my mind to Jeremiah. And there's a lot of similarities between Jonah and Jeremiah. And that just popped into my head. But do you know there was a call to Jeremiah? And we'll look at that a little bit. But there was a call to Jonah, of course. And there's some similarities. But as I was reading between them and going back and forth, the biggest difference is one, listened and obeyed the word of the Lord, and the other didn't. But we're not going to go over this anymore. So I just wanted to recap from the previous weeks. And, you know, the son of truth. We were talking about Jonah and Jonah's father. His father's name is Amittai. And his name means truth. And Jonah, the son of truth, didn't really obey that truth very well. Didn't handle the truth that he was given from the Lord very well. But that was a few weeks ago. And the solution to turmoil. We all go through turmoil. We all go through things. And there's a solution to turmoil in our lives. And who knows the solution to turmoil? God. God is the answer to everything, and God has all the answers. In Revelation 1:18, it says, I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And it goes on to say, I have the keys of hell and of death. But not only does he have the keys of hell and death, I mean, he has so much more. Does God amaze you? I mean, God just amazes me. And I can't help but remember to go back, you know, when it talks about in the Bible how, you know, the place was shaken. And also when it talks about it was noised that Jesus was in the house. I mean, I want you to hold on to that, because every time you step foot, and outside, of course, but every time you step foot in the Lord's house, it should be exciting, because it was noised that Jesus was in the house. And remember, we went over when they were talking about tearing apart that building and lowering their friend down to be healed by the Lord Jesus? And it was noised that Jesus was there. If Jesus is in your heart, there should be excitement. It should be noise that Jesus is in there. And you should be shaken. And but not only Revelation 1:18, I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. He is the answer to turmoil, but he has the keys of hell and of death, but he is the Alpha and Omega. And, you know, I'm not going to tell you anything you don't know, but I want you to think about it and meditate on it, and God has something great for you. He's God Almighty. He's Jehovah. He's El Shaddai. He's the Lord of hosts, the Prince of Peace. He is the Lord and Master. He is our Redeemer. He can do anything for anyone. And I don't want anyone to be disheartened in here when things come your way, because God will see you through. And he's been that way in my life, and I know he'll be that way in yours. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's just amazing. And for I am the Lord, in Malachi 3:6, he says, for I am the Lord, I change not. You know, in such a changing world, I mean, especially with most of the people in this room, most of this crowd, you've been around a little bit, right? I was talking to a gentleman earlier. He was drafted into the military. Well, they haven't used the draft in some time, so he's been around a little bit. You've been around since before the cell phone, right? Since before microwaves, before a lot of, you know, you're watching black and white TVs, and maybe not even TV at all for some of you, right? You've seen a lot of changes. You've seen a lot of changes in our churches. You've seen a lot of changes in our society. I was talking to Beulah, And, you know, when she moved here, it was all farmland. And we were talking about me moving to Gray. I would love to find a place in Gray. But it was all farmland. But now it's a lot different here in Gray. She just lives a couple blocks from here. But now it's busy. You got all these stores and everything. You know, you've seen a lot of changes. But isn't it great that you can hold on to the Lord? He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And I just think we just need to meditate on certain things. But Malachi 3:6, for I am the Lord, I change not. He is so worthy of our obedience and our faith. Now, if you want to turn in your Bibles to the book of Jonah, we'll recap. Now, Jonah is a short book of the Bible, and I just want to make sure that we keep things in our mind about Jonah. Jonah's a short book, but it's so impactful. There's so much in Jonah. And let's go to verse 1. And it says, now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city. Now, he says, arise and go to Nineveh, that great city. Now, in the later verses, I think it's the last verse of the last chapter, if I remember right. Yeah. In verse 11, in chapter 4, it says, and should not I spare Nineveh, that great city? Now, he mentioned, when the Lord mentions things more than once, pay attention. You pay attention in every word that he says. But if he mentions it more than once, but he calls Nineveh a great city. So the Lord really wanted to impress to the reader that Nineveh was a great city. Maybe for two reasons, in my mind. Maybe it was a great city because of the size. It had a lot of people there. But maybe it was a great city because of the influence. But that was Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness is come up before me. Verse 3, but Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord and went down to Joppa, and he found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare thereof and went down into it to go with them unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. And like I said before, the four things that I want to reiterate today is the word of the Lord came on to Jonah. There's also Noah that I was comparing Jonah to as well. But the word of the Lord came unto Jonah. Don't dismiss the word of the Lord. You know, God's word, God will bring his word to you at different times. Don't dismiss it. Hold on to it and just contemplate to the Lord. Just say, why is that in my mind? Why would you bring that to my mind? Why would you bring that person to my mind? Now, he was talking to Jeremiah about the word. The word came to Jeremiah, and the word came to Jonah. I just want you to think about Jeremiah and Jonah as we go forward. But the word came to Jonah, and the second thing that jumps out at me was Jonah fled from God. And a lot of people, like I said before, a lot of people like to run from God when they get in trouble. A lot of people like to run from God when things are going good. But we need to be careful. We need to hold God first and foremost in our lives when things are going good, when you go on vacation, when you live your life, and when, you know, maybe some disaster happens or some heartache happens. We need to run to the Lord. Don't run from God. But Jonah found a ship. And, you know, we'll always find a way to get out of doing right. And my wife was in here. The reason my wife's not here today and it's fine with me. My son is in another class. So my wife wanted to listen to my son because she always gets to hear me, right? So he's over from California and he's teaching in another class. My daughter and her fiance, she's not in here. She's probably in there with them. So and I support it 100%. But Jonah found a ship and he paid the fare off. And I just want to remind you, I mean, you always find a way to get out of doing right, and the devil will always allow a path for you to do wrong. And I found that true in my life, and I'm sure you could probably attest to the same. But and he went down and he brought other people with him, and because we never sin alone. And then I mentioned last week that the Jonah ends with a question mark. And I hold on to that question mark. I'm like, what about me? How does this book of the Bible, how does Jonah's life, how do things that God brought out as we were studying, how does it apply to us? And then we need to, God put Jonah in the Bible for a reason. He put it for a reason. And it's not for Jonah. Jonah doesn't need to read about himself. It's for us. And we need to pay attention when God said something. So it talks about Jonah's negligence, the decision, the deafness, and the disaster. God told him to go. You know, maybe God will tell you to go and hand a track or something simple like that. I wasn't going to hand that track out Saturday. And I felt around and I said, wow, I don't have any tracks on me. I'm like, I'm off the hook. I don't have to hand this guy the track because, you know, it was three people together and they outnumbered me. But you know what happened? I turned and my wife had a track. She wouldn't let me get off the hook. I grabbed the track, and I said, okay, now people are watching. I have to go and hand this track to these people, and then I have to talk to them. By nature, I'm not a talker. By nature, I mean, me, I could live up in the mountains and be by myself, but the Lord wouldn't have it that way. So I handed the track, and hopefully we see them today. I was so excited after I left that conversation. Matter of fact, they stood. We visited probably for a good 30 minutes. So it would have been 2 seconds to hand them a track and walk away. I had my grandkids over there playing in the playground. But we visited for a long time. And then my wife came over and we just, it was exciting. But when the Lord says go, we should go. But the Lord told Jonah go and he said no. And that was his deafness. And then a disaster. God created and crafted a disaster specifically for Jonah. And God can do the same for us. He can tailor, he can craft a disaster and target it right in our lives. But you know what the problem might be? We won't recognize it. We won't recognize it as something from God. You know why? God will do what it takes to get our attention. I'm so grateful for that. I'm so thankful that God cares enough about us that he wants to get our attention one way or another. That's something we need to think about. You know, all of us are going through something. And, you know, be nice to people because everybody's having a tough day, right? When someone cuts you off or when someone takes your parking spot or someone just is grumpy or someone says, no, I don't want nothing to do with that track or something like that. You don't know what they're going through. And just God will give you the right response to everything that you might go through. And just do right the first time, and then God won't have to craft a situation to get your attention. I'm sure that he's done it several times, probably many more times than I want to admit in my life, to get my attention. And hopefully, sometimes I'm sure I probably responded correctly, and sometimes I didn't. You know, I won't get into a story. My son's traveling to Canada right now, my other son. And he had a situation traveling to Canada. He had to drive to St. Louis, and maybe another time I'll tell you. But he called me at 4 o'clock in the morning, Saturday morning. So my other son got in like midnight, and then my other son that got into a situation at the airport at 4 o'clock in the morning, he called me. And he called my wife's phone, and then he called my phone. I'm like, I better answer this. There's a problem. And but it's not so much the situation. It's how we respond to it. And you know how we respond to it? Just like Jesus responded when Satan was trying to tempt him with Scripture. But that doesn't happen overnight. You have to constantly train. In the military, the way we react is the way we train. You train to fight, right? You train to react to certain situations. You get God's word in your heart and in your life, and you apply it. And then when things come, that will naturally come out. I mean, the devil will try and stop you, but at the same time, the nemesis or of indifference. The nemesis of indifference, the thing that kept coming back and fighting and opposing, the nemesis, and indifference is apathy. We can get that way. Apathy means we just don't care, right? We just don't care. You know, sometimes we can get to the point where we're tired, we feel defeated, we've been through a lot of things, and we just don't care. But I'm glad God's not that way. I'm glad our Lord Jesus Christ is not that way. I'm glad he cares. I'm glad he cares. He loved us. Well, that's why we loved him, because he loved us first. And you can go to the Lord daily, pray without ceasing, any minute of any day you can go to the Lord. And you can ask him for his guidance. You can ask him for his mercy. And I thank him so much for his grace. And I thank him for his long suffering. Like I said, some of us in here have been living a long time. That's a lot of long suffering for people like us, right? We don't deserve it. We don't deserve any of it. But God is gracious. And I'm so thankful for it. And then Jonah's notoriety, where we left off last week. But he had a legacy of disobedience and a lesson in decisions. I'm just sorry, I can't see that very well because of the angle. But disobedience, your legacy. When you pass on from this world and you go to be with heaven, you go to be with Jesus in heaven, and you go to be with your loved ones, you want people to think good of you. You want, as you leave, you want to leave a legacy. If you have grandkids, you have people that know you. You at least want them to say, you know, my name's Archie. You want them to say, Archie was a good guy. He was a hard worker, but most of all, he loved the Lord. He loved his family, and he loved the Lord. You want to leave a legacy like that. You, like this morning when our grandkids came up, they came out of the bedroom. You know where they found their grandma and their, what they call my wife Grammy, and they call me Grandpa? You know where they found us? On the couch praying and then studying the devotion that we had for today. And you know what? I don't say that to brag, because, you know, I'm the last one that you'd, you know, I'm just so thankful. But I'm thankful that's what they saw. And they didn't see us fighting, or they didn't see us arguing, or they didn't see something else, which happens. But they saw that. And they get that in their mind, and then they jumped right up by us, and then we prayed, and then we went into our devotion. But that's a legacy, right? That's a legacy you want to leave to people around you. And you know what? Glory be to God. Praise the Lord for any kind of glimpse of anything that, you know, he can shine through your life to others. And then a lesson in decisions. And I remember talking about the decisions that Lot made. Lot. We're talking about Lot, how he lifted up his eyes to the well-watered plains, right, of Jordan. And he looked at sin, right? He knew it wasn't right to leave his uncle Abraham. He looked at sin. Then he pitched his tent towards sin. And he never thought that one day he was going to be sitting at the gate in Sodom in a public position. And he never thought that he would want to give his children up for terrible reasons. And he never thought that one day that sin was going to take him to a point to where he had no effect. He had such a terrible testimony, nobody would listen to him, not even his wife. And he told his wife, hey, don't turn around, don't look at that. And his wife turned around because he had no influence in her life. He wasn't making good decisions up to that point. Why would this be anything different? And she turned around and turned into a pillar of salt. But that's something we need to consider when we make decisions. You know, my son's buying a house. He wanted to buy a house. And so I'm so thankful that he calls me. Not that I'm anybody or I'm very smart, but he calls me anytime he buys a car, he buys a house, or he does something. This is my son in Indiana. And so he calls me. And that's when you have to make a decision, regardless how small it is, I think you should ask for godly counsel. Ask somebody, talk to someone, talk to the pastor, talk to one of the deacons, someone that has some wisdom. I just want to make sure. Oh, there's a clock right there. Jonah, a sovereign call. Rick, could we advance this? And one more. We talked about that one more. No, back one. Back one. So, a sovereign call. Can you remember a time in your life that you had a sovereign call? A sovereign call by the Lord? He was either calling you or trying to get your attention somehow, but a sovereign call. Well, God's a sovereign call. God is a sovereign God. And so anytime he calls you, it's a sovereign call. When we got saved, that was a sovereign call. When the Lord saved us, that was a sovereign call. I looked up one definition of sovereign, and it says the right of God to exercise his ruling over his creation. Right of God to exercise his ruling over his creation. If you have your Bibles, turn to the book of Jeremiah real quick. We'll go there. Let's see if I can get there quick enough. There we go. Jeremiah chapter 18. And so if you have one finger in Jeremiah and then one finger in Jonah, let's look at something today. So chapter 18, it says, the word of the Lord, which came to Jeremiah from the Lord saying. Now that's Jeremiah 18 verse 1. Is everybody there? The word which came to Jeremiah from the Lord saying, and then you flip back to Jonah chapter 1. Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai. See how that's kind of similar? And then it goes back and says, verse 2 in Jeremiah, arise and go down to the potter's house, and there I will cause thee to hear my words. And then you flip back over to Jonah. It says, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness is come up before me. I just think there's so many similarities if you go back and forth, and I don't know why the Lord put that in my head, but, you know, we were talking about sovereignty and how the Lord can do what he wants and the power that he has over his creation. Well, if you look in Jeremiah chapter 18, the word of the Lord which came to Jeremiah from the Lord saying, arise and go down to the potter's house, and there I will cause thee to hear my words. Then I went down, this is Jeremiah, then I went down to the potter's house, and behold, he wrought a work on the wheel. So he was a potter, and he had his clay on the wheel, and he was, you know, pumping the little device there, and it was spinning the wheel, and he was making something on that wheel. You know, back in the day, you would make vases, you would make bowls, you would make whatever. So Jeremiah compares the clay to us, God forming us. He knew us before we were born. He knew us when we were in the womb, right? So he was forming us. God was forming us. Well, it talks about here that he told the potter, he told Jeremiah to go down to the potter's house. I got a lesson for you. Everywhere we go, God has a lesson for us. All right? And he says, then I went down to potter's house, and behold, he wrought a work on the wheel. And the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter. So you know what happens? This potter was making this vessel of clay, and it was marred. So the Lord had to bust it and smash it. The potter smashed it because it says it was marred, and he made it again, another vessel. And this time he made it that seemed good to the potter to make it. And then it goes on to say, then the word of the Lord came to me saying, O house of Israel, cannot I do with you as this potter? It would be funny or odd if that clay jumped off that wheel and started telling the potter what he wanted to be. You're making me into a bowl, but I want to be a vessel, or I want to be a pitcher, or I want to be something else. That'd be odd for the clay to jump up and tell the potter that, right? But we try and live our life and tell a sovereign God what we're going to do or what we want to be. That's kind of backwards, just like they're talking here. O house of Israel, cannot I do with you as this potter, saith the Lord? Behold, as the clay is in the potter's hand, so are ye in my hand. And I challenge you this week, go back and read Jeremiah as you read these four quick verses in the book of Jonah. And you'll see some comparisons, and the Lord will bring your attention to some things, and you'll be, that's awesome. God is so awesome. Every day he brings something into my life, and I know yours as well, that just points us and everyone to him. And I think that's just so awesome. He's so sovereign. And 10:43, I only have 2 minutes. So, Rick, could you bring up Psalm 27:4? And we got 2 minutes. We're going to sing God's word, and that's what we'll go over next week. Psalm 27:4. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. Let's sing that. Let's hide God's word in our hearts. And let's meditate on that for the rest of the week. Ready? 1, 2, 3. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. Good. To behold the beauty of the Lord. Behold the beauty of the Lord. To behold the beauty of the Lord. And to inquire. Inquire in his temple. Which is what we're doing today. We're inquiring in God's temple. And let's be here every time the doors are open. Dear Lord in heaven, we thank you, Lord, for this lesson. We thank you for this church. We thank you for making it possible. We thank you for the Holy Spirit. Dear Lord in heaven, we thank you for every word that you put in your Bible that we might gain from it. We pray for the service to follow. We pray for the pastor. We pray that you'll hide him behind the cross. Give him the words to say. We love you in Jesus' name. Amen. Have a good day. I got a mess. Did you hear me?
I've got this thing that helps some, but it's still...